Thanks for being here, guys. I'm excited to talk about this topic. Serving, it, like Max said, is something that I love to do. I love to serve this church. I love you guys. I love to serve God's people and my family. And I believe God has something to speak to us tonight. You know, over the last few months at Men's Night, we've been talking about some foundational things that we believe we need to learn and grow in and do as men to grow and be leaders in our communities, in our church, in our homes. And it's been really good. I don't know about you guys, but I've been really encouraged with the many topics we've been going over. And like Max said, tonight we get to talk about serving. And I'm just really excited about that, ways that we can grow to be more selfless. It's been really good for my own life to look at this area in light of God's word and just see where can I grow to be more selfless, to put others first more. So I wanted to say this, just about everything I'm going to say tonight, I've learned from men in this room. We have some amazing examples of service in this room, and you guys are my heroes, and I just thank you for all the work that you guys do and the way you've taught me and been an example to me. So why don't we pray, and we'll dive right in. Jesus Christ, we love you tonight. We thank you, Jesus, that you first loved us. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to sing to you and to just confess our love for you. God, I confess my need for you. Now in this moment, Jesus, I just pray you would speak to these men. Lord, speak to my own heart. I pray your words would go out and just that you would grow us in this area, Jesus. We want to be better leaders for you. We want to be better servants for you. And I just pray you'd lead our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in my home, I have three little boys, and we talk a lot about, with my sons, about serving each other, about loving and putting your brother first, treating others how you want to be treated. You know, oftentimes as men, we probably would admit and say the way we want to be treated is just to be left alone, right? Just don't talk to me, and that would be fine. And that's not what Jesus has for us, so I'm not going to just tell you to keep going with that. But with my little boys, especially my oldest, Abel, who's 5, we constantly are teaching him, buddy, you got to put your brothers first. You got to serve them. You need to put their needs in front of yours. And recently, my wife and I were having Abel do some chores and having him serve his little brothers, and he stopped and just said, Dad, why is it I always have to do everything? Why is it I always have to do all this stuff and do this for them? And it was a great opportunity for me to teach my son, buddy, God has made you a man first. He's made you the older brother. He wants you to be a leader to your brothers. And the way that you are a leader is that you're a servant. We believe in this church. If you want to be a leader in your home, in your work, at church, you have to be a servant. So it was a great opportunity to teach my son, buddy, if you want to be a leader, if you're going to be a man one day, you have to learn to serve. You see, it's our desire as pastors and as leaders at The Rock that we would grow in this area as men, that we would grow to fulfill our God-given purpose in this life. So what is that purpose? Our purpose is this. Jesus speaks about it in Matthew 22, verse 37. When asked about what's the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So that's our purpose, guys. It's to love God. Just like we were saying, Jesus, Jesus, we love you. The way we, that's our purpose, is to have relationship with Jesus, right? Amen. To love him with everything we have, to give him our hearts, our affections, our desires, our dreams, our fears, to give him our very lives. But how do we measure that? It's easy to come to church and just say, we love you, you know, or we tell a guy, hey, love you, man. But how do we look at somebody and see that they are loving God, that their whole life is given to God? Jesus answers that in the very next verse. You guys know this. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's it right there. Jesus gives us the what for our lives, the purpose for our lives, and that's to love God. The second is he gives us the how, and that's to love people. If we truly love God, we will love people and we will serve people. That's not just saying, again, that we love our brother and we leave it at that, but that's showing our love by laying down our lives for them, making them more important than us, serving them. So the way we fulfill our purpose of loving God on this earth, if you want to love God, you have to love and serve people. Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. That's really easy, right? It's really easy to put somebody first and love them as much as we love ourselves, but no. Man, that's difficult. Our culture constantly screams the complete opposite of this, right? They tell you to put yourself first. Make sure you have time for yourself, to worry about you. You are the most important person in your life. But that's the complete opposite that we see in Scripture, and the exact opposite what Jesus says is most important. He not only spoke of this, but he led out in this and exemplified this in his life. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus constantly serving others, putting others first, making time to love those around him. We see a clear example of Christ's actions and words to teach his disciples about how important serving is in the Christian life. When the disciples are about to eat the Last Supper, you guys know this, when he's about to eat the Last Supper and the disciples are with him, Jesus does the most amazing, humble act of service in history. He washes their feet. The creator of the universe gets down and washes the stinky, smelly, dirty feet of the guys around him. And this is so unorthodox and so mind-boggling that Peter calls Jesus out on this. He says, Jesus, you're too important for this. You're God. You're the creator. You are Lord. You shouldn't be doing this. This is the work for slaves. But Jesus does it anyway, and he teaches his disciples a valuable lesson. John 13, he says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. So why do we serve? To make ourselves feel better? We go volunteer at some program so that we can just feel good about ourselves, right? Not really. We serve because we want to act like Jesus. And Jesus showed us how to serve. He gave us an example of that. So we've looked at the what for our lives. That's to love God, right? And the how, to love people. And then we've looked at the why, because Jesus served. That's why we want to serve. We want to be like Jesus. But tonight, mostly I want to spend time looking at maybe not the why we should do it, but why not. Why are we not doing that? I know that can sound strange, but I want to look at what hinders us, what stops us from serving. It can be easy to know we're supposed to do something, but not do it. So I want to look at six lies that keep us from serving tonight. If I can be honest with you guys about my own life, I can go down the many things in my life that I know I should and should not do, things that I know are good for me or things I know aren't good for me. And I can know that, but the follow-through doesn't always happen. Do you guys ever have that problem? The follow-through doesn't happen, right? It can be really easy having the knowledge, the head knowledge, but there's a disconnect between my head and my actions. And a lot of times, I think, for me personally, as I reflect, that comes down to the why, or the why not, something I'm believing that's keeping me from serving or doing something I know I should do. And that can be a conscious thing that I'm believing or an unconscious thing. Why do I want to read my Bible? Why should I? Why do I want to treat my wife a certain way? Why do I want to love my kids and raise them in a certain way? Why don't I want to go into debt? Why don't I want to give in to lust? Why shouldn't I watch that movie or listen to that music or spend that money that certain way? In areas of my life, I can have a head knowledge, and I might hear a message of some sort that gets me really fired up, and I want to do it, but then I walk away from there and the follow-through doesn't happen. And if I'm just being honest, in my life, that list of do's and don'ts doesn't always motivate me to act. It just doesn't. There's something deeper in me, something deep down that I have to look at that I'm not believing or I'm not walking in. I'm not walking in valuable wisdom. And many times in my life, I've had to look at myself and say, I know I should do this or I know I shouldn't. So why don't I do it? Or why am I still doing something I know I shouldn't? And that, I believe, is the why. It's not exactly, or I think it's exactly the same way in this area of serving. Maybe a lot of you guys have heard a serving talk, or you know you should serve. You know that's something you should do. You should be more selfless, but you don't do it. And I think maybe it's one of these six lies that we're going to look at that maybe you're believing. I challenge you to see which one of these as we go through that it is that maybe you're believing consciously or unconsciously. So the first lie is I'm too busy. It's not a priority to me. Luke 12 says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Matthew 6 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we're not making time for God's work of loving and serving others, it shows that it's really not that important to us. And it really shows that loving God isn't that important to us, if we're honest. Because if you love God, you will love people. You will serve people. It's where the rubber meets the road. If we love God, we will love people. This certainly pertains to service at church and all those good things in the community, at your work, in your neighborhood. But it's especially true, I believe, for us guys who are husbands and fathers in this room. Guys, we have to step up in this area of serving in our home, making time. Are you making ample time to serve your family, to serve your wife? Is it a priority to you, or are you too busy? Are you available around the house? Do you help with the kids? Do you take the lead in serving and loving your family and laying down your life? If not, I would ask you, what do you need to do to change that? Do you need to work less hours? Do you need to drop a hobby or two? Do you need to get rid of your computer or video games? Or stop watching so much TV or movies? Do you need to get rid of some debt so you can stop working so much? Sell a few things? Does your wife or do your kids know that they are the most important priority to you on this life, in this life that Jesus has given to you? They are your number one way to serve God and to love God, is to serve and love your family. Ask them sometimes how you're doing in that area. You think you're doing all right? Ask your wife. Ask your kids, how do they feel? They'll be honest with you. They'll know if you're making time for them. We make time for the things that are most important to us, right? Secular author and poet said, Leo Christopher put it this way, there's only one thing more precious to us than our time, and that's who we spend it on. So what's more important to you guys? What do you value more, the people around you, your family, your roommate, the church, or do you value your own personal time? Are you too busy to serve? How can you make more time? Lie number two, I'm not capable. I'm not skilled or gifted. Maybe you feel this. Maybe you feel like you don't have a skill or a gift. Maybe you don't feel like you're good at music or presentation, or you're not a people person, so you wouldn't be good at connections, or you're not good with children, so you know you wouldn't be good with childcare. Maybe you're not James Bond, so you wouldn't be good on the security team. Maybe you just don't feel skilled or gifted. I'm here to tell you that God has already given you a gift to build the church, guys. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Romans 12:6 also speaks of this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. God has equipped you for a unique gift that you can bring into the community of believers, guys. We have to believe this, find it, and bring it to the table. Also, though, apart from the gifts and the skills that God has given us, God also wants willing hearts, humble hearts. Isaiah, you guys know, he said, when God was looking for someone to send, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And God equipped him by cleaning his unclean lips. God sent Moses, even when Moses refused and said, I'm no good at public speaking, I'm no leader. God used Gideon when he was a coward and was hiding in a wine press. God chose David as the king for his heart, not because he had his brother's good looks or strength. God can use the ordinary. He just needs someone with a humble and willing heart. You guys have probably heard this at our church. We often just say that we're looking for men who will be faithful, available, and teachable. Is that you? Are you faithful? Do you show up when you say you will? Are you available? Do you have the time? Are you teachable? Are you humble and willing to learn? Many times, in whatever area of the church we need people to serve, we can teach you the skill. We can teach you what you need to do, but we can't teach a willing heart. So are we faithful, available, and teachable? Lie number three, I'm too skilled. That type of work is below me. You guys ever feel like that? Maybe you feel like this guy, Nacho Libre. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it tonight. No, not tonight. But maybe you guys feel like Nacho Libre. You feel like you're not meant for cooking duty or dead guy duty or you need some new duties, you know, right? That's what he would say. You feel like nobody thinks that you know a crap load about the gospel, but you do, okay? Maybe you feel like Nacho Libre. Cleaning toilets isn't what you want to do. Folding bulletins doesn't sound fun. Watching snot-nosed kids isn't your thing. Shoveling for your neighbors isn't. It's too cold. You got to shovel your own sidewalk. Why would you shovel someone else's, you know? It's just you're more important that. Your time's more valuable. You want something more glorious. I would challenge you with this verse. In Romans 12, it says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So Paul basically is saying, stop thinking of yourself as so important when you're the little toenail of the body of Christ. Little toenail. That's sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, that's what we are, right? We're no more important than anybody else. Jesus himself, creator and Lord, did not consider his place in heaven as something to be grasped. Instead, he became a man to serve us and to love us, and to die for us. And again, he got down and washed the stinky feet of 12 dudes. He did the job of a slave. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. You are not more important than Jesus. I am not more important than Jesus. No work is below us. Okay? We have to be willing and honest about our position to see that if it needs to be done, we can do it. Line number four, I've already done my part. If I screw up on the Roman numerals, forgive me, I'm not always great on those. So I think that's four, right? Yeah, all right, awesome. Thanks for your grace. So it's someone else's turn. Maybe you guys feel like you've been serving Jesus, running hard for lots of years, even decades. You've been serving at church or serving in your community or serving your wife, and you just feel like, I'm done. It's somebody else's turn to do that. You're feeling burnt out, and you want to sit back and relax knowing you've done your part. I challenge you, brothers, to listen to the Apostle Paul, who did more serving for people and for Jesus than you or I ever will. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. He also said in Philippians 1, I am torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. The example of Paul is truly amazing and convicting. The dude was just persecuted. He was stoned. I mean, people threw rocks at him, and he went right back into the city to love him and serve him. He was always giving of his life. He had a heart that was for Jesus and for others, not for himself, for his own interests. He says here himself, I wish I could just go to heaven and be with Jesus. That would be way better. But I'm going to choose what's best for you. He wasn't selfish. So that shows we are never done pouring ourselves out for others, not until we see Jesus. There's more work to be done. I challenge you to get back on the horse and keep going. Line number 5, it doesn't make any difference. The results seem so minimal. Honestly, I think this lie is one that we all believe. It's really easy to hear this lie. It's easy for the enemy. I think he will constantly be throwing this one in our face that to tell us that our lives mean nothing, that our work for Jesus means nothing, our loving others means nothing. It's not doing anything. Just throw in the towel. The devil would love nothing more than for us to believe this. If you are serving at your work, serving your coworkers, and it doesn't make any difference, or you're serving in your home, you're serving your wife, and it just doesn't seem to make a difference, we don't see immediate results and effects, it can be really discouraging. But I think, honestly, there are results that we are never going to see. There are things on this earth that we will do for Jesus. We will never see how God uses that. But you need to know that nothing done for the Lord in faith is done in vain. We have to believe that. 1 Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In Galatians 6, says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I believe we're going to be blown away one day when we step into heaven and our eyes are opened to how God has taken our little bit of faith, our little bit of effort, something that seems pointless, that really we weren't even giving our all at times. Our little bit of effort, God takes that and he multiplies it and uses it to impact others for his purpose and his glory. It's never in vain when we step out and we love others because we're loving Jesus. And line number 6, no one sees. There's no recognition. Serving can be a thankless thing, right? It can be easy to get discouraged in that way. We all want recognition, or maybe just I do. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe some more than others. I think we all want recognition for somebody to see our hard work and know that we're super Christian and just we love Jesus with everything we have and we're just constantly singing hymns and dying to ourselves, right? But it's not always how it goes. Sometimes when you're by yourself and you're cleaning a toilet and nobody comes in and nobody knows that you've cleaned that toilet to the best of your ability, or you're serving your family quietly in the middle of the night, changing your baby's diaper, or helping your sick kids, or when you go out of your way to serve your coworker and nobody says thank you, it can be really easy to just say, what's the point? No one sees it. No one notices. Well, guys, we have to believe that God sees, and that's enough. Matthew 6 says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus sees, and that's enough. I remember I think it was 11 years ago, which is crazy to think about. 11 years ago, I started coming to The Rock, to the downtown location, and I was super excited to start serving. I just wanted to do anything possible I could to be a part of the church, and I remember doing bulletins and greeting people and helping at the storefront and coffee and helping with cleaning and mopping the floor. And I was so excited to love God, but I also remember, and I'm not super proud of this, I remember I always wanted somebody to recognize that I was serving super hard. I remember mopping that stupid floor at the downtown building, that concrete floor. If you ever did that, that was fun. But I remember just sometimes if somebody didn't show up who was supposed to help, I was like, oh yeah, I'll totally do it. But then I would get frustrated and be like, man, nobody even cares that I'm mopping this floor and I'm sweating. And I especially, though, made sure I was working extra hard when the girl I liked was walking by and be like, oh, yep, you know, working up. And that girl's now my wife, so proud to say it worked. No. But it can be easy to, I remember it was easy for me to work extra hard when somebody was watching. But I needed to remember, I needed to learn that I was working for God's approval, not man's approval. And that can be difficult, but God sees, and that's enough. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. God sees, and he is the one I am loving when I serve others. There will be a reward in heaven, even if no one sees my sacrifice here. We have to believe that. So guys, I want to challenge you to find what lie or lies you're believing and is stopping you from serving. I think it's good to understand that and maybe to search a little deeper and figure out what that is. But I also believe and that it's true that at some point we have to take the next step of doing the next right thing, even if we don't feel like doing it. And we have to believe that our heart will follow. So next I want to talk about just some simple ways that you can put this into practice. Maybe give you guys some, again, a lot of you do this and are amazing at this, but maybe just some simple ways that you can serve in different areas of your life. They are really elementary, I think, but I think they do go a long way. And just some practicals. So I want to talk about some simple ways of serving your family. You can be like some of these guys. You need to have a heart to lead out in your home. We can think that maybe cleaning or taking care of the kids or helping with homework is our wives' work. Guys, I think we need to lead out in that. Be servants, to serve our families, to give our whole lives. We can watch the kids and vacuum at the same time, like this guy, if you're awesome. Or you can teach your kids to vacuum, okay? I think some simple ways is to help pick up around the house. If you know your wife is tired, or your roommate even, if you're not married, your roommate is tired of you leaving your dishes around. I'm terrible at that. I leave dishes around, and I got to work harder to serve my wife because she would appreciate that. We can do laundry just as well as our wives. Maybe not as well, but we can do it still, you know? My wife asked me to get better at folding the laundry when I take it out of the dryer, you know? And I want to serve her. I don't really care if it's not folded, but she does, so I want to serve her. You can bring your wife coffee in the morning. It goes a long way to show her you love her, that you're thinking about her. You can bring her breakfast in the morning. Make time for your kids, too. Read to them, help with homework, help with projects, change diapers, dress them, feed them. I know these, again, are really super simplistic elementary ways, but I think they go a long way. Simple ways that you can serve in the church. You can serve up or sign up for the serving schedule. A lot of you guys are already doing this, but I would challenge you. Brian gave this challenge a few months ago. If you're not on the serving schedule, we need your help. We always have more areas that we need help in. We need help in childcare. I think Tony would say we still need help with tech and presentation. Guys, there's so many ways to serve the church. It's not just always the ways that you even see. A great brother in our church does the entire website for our church, and he serves all of you by making what a great tool for our church for us to use and for visitors. And he serves God that way, and he loves people that way. So there are lots of ways that you can get involved. But we do need help for childcare. Guys, if you're a dad, God has equipped you to go help with the kids. Again, it's not just women's work. Let's lead out in that. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had more guy teachers than women teachers back there to show our kids that loving God and loving Jesus and being at church and being excited about God is cool and manly? Let's do that, okay? If you're not serving in childcare, fathers, do it. It's fun. It's fun. The little kids are awesome. You get to give them high fives when you're outside of the class too, and it just makes it awesome for these little kids. So let's step it up in that. For some of you guys that are, you know, construction dudes, we have project days. Phil Hahn always, I'm sure, could use help doing projects around the church, fixing things. Also, there's project days at people's homes. I myself have been tremendously blessed by the men in this room who have come and helped serve me at my home. I fixed up three homes now between two in Provo and one in Sandy, and what a blessing it is, and it's fun. I remember Chris Burt and Andrew Hale came over, and it was hilarious just to hear those guys together doing sheetrock in my upstairs. I was loving it. I was downstairs doing a project, and it's just, it blessed my heart. So thank you for those of you that have helped me in the past in that. We have a system of bringing meals to family. That's another way you can serve people. Sign up for that. Can I challenge you also? For some of you guys, you've been serving in the same area maybe for 10, 20 years now. Can I challenge you to maybe take a step of faith and do more? I know we're all busy, but again, I think it's good for us to stir ourselves up. I would just challenge you, bring that before the Lord. Where's an area in the church that you can step up your serving? Maybe that's to do more. It's not, again, I know we're busy, but we can do more. I believe that, okay? I know what it's like to be busy, to work a full-time job, to have three kids, to have a wife, to have band practices, to have small group. You can serve more. We can all do it, okay? I just challenge you. Bring that before the Lord. I'm not telling you you have to, but just see what God might speak to you. And if you've been serving for a long time, maybe one area, maybe to take that next step in serving. Simple ways to serve at work. This one can be difficult. I was racking my brain, though, and I looked online. I think just simple little things that we can do for our coworkers and our boss to go a long way to be a light and to serve them and show them that we love them is to be generous and be present in your workplace, to be available, to go out of your way to help your coworkers with tasks. Get your own work done so that you can help others around you complete their tasks. Bring treats, bring coffee, do things that you know they'll enjoy and show that you love them. Interact with them. Interact with all of your coworkers. Don't be partial. Don't just hang out with the ones that you get along with. Love people at your work. Go out of your way to encourage and recognize the work of your coworkers and your boss. And simple ways to serve in the community. Last year, I think it was, we've been doing this, but we put a label on it finally, of The Rock Cares. And we have a whole network of all of these tremendous things that we can do in the community and ways that you guys can get involved to serve the community. You can volunteer for these on our website, on the Cares part. There's foster, adoption, orphans, homeless and refugees, international missions, family support. There's all of these many ways you can go down the website. The Royal Family Kids Camp, you can sign up for that. And on our website, there's contact information that if God puts it on your heart, you want to step it up in this area of serving in the community, contact these people. We have the rescue mission. You can go serve there, take your family to serve there, or take your small group to go serve there. The road home. And we've committed we do a lot with the Pregnancy Resource Center. We've committed to help them redo their bathroom in the next few months. So again, if that's something that you enjoy doing, construction, fixing things, putting things together, come talk to us. Talk to Mac. We're going to be putting a project together to go and help replace their bathroom. And that's just an easy way that we can serve them as they serve the community. There's so many ways to get involved. You just have to take a step back and look for one. There's no excuse not to get involved. So I would encourage you guys, what area can you step it up in? So to conclude, if we want to be leaders in our homes, we must be present. We have to be servants. We have to be like Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. And when his disciples were arguing about who was the greatest, who was going to sit at the right hand of Jesus in heaven when he's on his throne, Jesus stopped them and he reminded them what was most important. He said in Matthew, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So just in the same way, like I'm trying to teach my sons, that if we that we need to serve our brothers, that we need to put others first. If we want to be like Jesus, just like I have to tell my son, buddy, if we want to be like Jesus, we need to serve. Because he came to serve, and we want to be like Jesus. So guys, I would just challenge you, look in this area. Where can we step it up in growing and serving in our homes, at our church, in our work, in our communities? And I would just challenge you to take that next step. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to split up into discussion groups. I would say just two or three of you get together, and I have some questions that you guys can look through and just some, maybe some practical ways as you walk away from here, things that you can commit to. Maybe even tell that person next to you, you can ask these questions and say, what's a practical way that you're going to take the next step of doing the next right thing in serving? So I'll pray, and then we can break up into two or three, guys of two or three, and just discuss these questions. So Jesus, I thank you that you are the ultimate servant. Jesus, thank you that we follow your example. You don't just lord it over us and tell us to serve when you didn't do it yourself. Jesus, thank you that that's the Lord and Savior that we serve, that you led out in that. I pray you'd help us, God, to grow in this area. I pray you'd help us to die to ourselves. I know I can grow in this, God. There's a lot of selfishness in me, and I want to commit, God, to looking to others more, to serving my wife, to serving my kids, serving my coworkers and my boss, serving the church more, God, to step it up. God, I pray you would convict us, challenge us, and I pray you would help us to find whatever lie it is we're believing that's keeping us from serving you, that we would bring that before you, ask for you to remove that from us. God, I pray you'd help us to do the next right thing. And even tonight, God, if anyone here is convicted to step it up in this area, God, I pray you would help them to take that next step, that practical step, God, while they feel that from you, and to let their heart follow. Jesus, I pray you'd help us, grow us in this area. We love you, Jesus. Pray that in your name. Amen.